Duty. A podcast co-host's life is filled with solemn duty. I have reviewed really bad movies. I have negotiated our schedule to include all of the Star Trek movies, even the truly mediocre ones. I have represented Zombie Takeout in First Contact with 27 listeners, but none of this compares with my solemn duty today as the giver of the impromptu plot summary.
And welcome to episode 490 of
Zombie Takeout,
the B-movie cult movie show. I'm John.
Hello, I'm Scotto.
Now, before we get to this week's movie, before recording, you mentioned you needed an additional week off, which worked perfectly because I realized that we've got sort of an odd series going here. Everything Everywhere All at Once was out in 22 this year. Supercop was 92. This one is from 2002, and with how we adjusted the schedule, next week's movie is from 2012. So they're not exactly in chronological order, but they are 10 years apart, you know, sort of successively. And this week's movie is from 2002, Star Trek Nemesis, finishing off the, I'll say, TV cast movies.
Yes.
Because next year will be the Kelvins. I forgot to mention this off-air. I'll just ask now. What do you think about a Kelvin trilogy?
Or just like doing them all together?
Or space them out. I don't know. It just occurred to me since there are only three.
Banging them all out? That might be cool.
We'll figure it out.
That's next year. That's obviously anyway. A 23 problem.
Yeah, so. It's next year. So we'll figure it out. We might do a Kelvin trilogy. And of course, that brings us to the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by 2002, the Year of the Clones.
And also brought to you by the Argo for that off-brand Halo action we all knew Star Trek needed.
What year was Halo?
2001.
Oh, shit. Wow.
It was a big hit in 2001. Uh-huh. And, wow, look, it's a year later. They,
I've played it. I just wasn't sure what year it came out.
All right. So, we begin with the wedding of Riker and Troy, and
apparently the Traveler gave Wesley some time off.
But from what I understand, that like all of it, he had lines, but they all been on the cutting room floor. But we'll get to that, I'm supposing.
I just figured he showed up on set asking for his $2. They were like, "We'll put you in the wedding scene."
And instead of going on the honeymoon in true James Bond fashion, the adventure calls. Well, first, somebody threw out a perfectly good white android in some parts. You know, that's what this movie is missing. Keith, Gary.
Well, you're skipping a part, though.
I'm skipping a part.
The very beginning of the movie.
Oh, the Romulan Senate.
The interesting red lanyard that knocked off the entire Romulan Senate?
Some bauble just, killed the entire Romulan Senate. Mm-hmm. Mrs. Scotto watched this with me, and the two of us were just going the whole time, we saw this, like, in the theater. We know we did. Mm-hmm. And none of it stood out. We were so surprised by some of this.
I've seen it within the last year on Pluto. Gotta admit, on that viewing, I tapped when they stole the shuttle from the Scimitar.
So, there's a terrible coup takes place on Romulus, and then we get the wedding, right? All right, just making sure I'm chronologically...
That opening is probably the... Well, definitely the best part of the movie, and maybe the only redeeming part of the movie.
They find pieces of A Data on a planet, which, I mean, you knew was a trap.
Yeah.
But it was really dumb that it was a trap, as if... Because we know there was a set amount... Well, yeah. Of data's out there.
How many Other androids that Sung has made that are identical to Data have we already met?
It's not like they were able to just go to Walmart and buy another Data and
Yeah.
then bury him in pieces around a
Because I
planet for
know,
some reason.
obviously, lore, but I think there were a couple of others too.
And yeah, right. And then knowing what they know about other Datas,
Especially
lore at
lore.
least, you don't just say, "Hey, we'll give him the keys to the ship."
You ruined my what have I learned? It's kind of obvious.
Yeah, it was kind of like a. So, of course, that was a trap because that put them closest to the neutral zone, and just there's so many other ways they could have got them towards the neutral zone rather than this stupid we found Data and then buried parts of him on a planet near the neutral zone.
And did you notice it said Romulan Neutral Zone in big block letters on the display? Like, that was pure zazz.
Yeah. And, I mean, how many neutral zones were there in the Federation?
Right.
So they were brought to Romulus to negotiate with a new leader, not knowing, of course, that the entire Senate was pretty much killed, and anybody that would start negotiations like that would pretty much get a go fuck yourself.
Right.
If you're just going to leave us in your orbit for this long without addressing us or responding to our hails. But instead, good old Jean-Luc Picard goes forward with them anyway to meet himself.
Sir.
Yeah, it's the Romulans way back when cloned Jean-Luc Picard. And they were supposed to have an aging sequence, but they never to get them to similar ages, but they never did it.
They wanted to assassinate the actual Picard and insert their Picard, their clone, in his place to, infiltrate the Federation.
I mean, really, at this point, why don't you just paint like a tunnel on the side of a cliff? And then hope that they just crash the Enterprise into it, thinking they were going to go through it, because it is very Tom and Jerry.
Least they didn't say, and this is how democracy dies.
So of course they had a regime change and the project got scrapped, and they just sent him off to the Dilithium mines to live a life of slavery, except he learned how to do a bunch of things somehow anyway, and wound up taking over.
Got adopted by evil Jar Jar. Sorry, this movie
Evil
was
Jar Jar.
released at the same year as Attack of the Clones, so I'm just throwing in as many jokes about that as I can.
So they he somehow builds a souped-up ship, or I guess he just took a regular bird of prey.
He was effectively adopted by a Reman. That was the joke.
Yeah. And souped it up. He was adopted by Hellboy, actually, wasn't he?
Well, yeah.
And yeah, the Raymonds are telepathic. More on that later.
If you haven't seen DS9, Reman are a race of aliens who live on a moon of Romulus and are treated as basically slaves by the Romulans.
I forgot about them on Deep Space Nine.
That's basically where they were established and really fleshed out.
Okay. Watch that instead.
Yeah.
But
Absolutely.
we
I think I can say that about most Trek. Watch DS9 instead.
right. So they soup up the ship. They come up with this experimental radiation that is what they use to kill the Senate off, and they use it to power their ship to have stronger shields and better weapons. And the plot is, of course, they're going to take Jean-Luc Picard's blood to stabilize the clone.
Because he has some sort of condition that's causing him to deteriorate. They don't really
Yeah, he
establish
doesn't
that
have
too well.
long to live, but he has this mission to, for some reason, destroy Earth.
Because evil bad guy is evil bad guy.
Pretty much. Pretty much. So they start the whole battle sequence that lasts a crazy amount of long time, and I guess you could just say hilarity ensues because that's a good chunk of the movie right there.
They watched the ship battle scene in Khan and said, "How can we make this absolute shit?" But it does start with a great scene, the Romulan Senate. The wrist strap on the bomb, I'll call it the bomb, the dispersal device, looked really silly.
Yeah.
It had a wrist strap on it. And there's this, thing on the table in the Senate. It opens up, shoots a light, into the ceiling, and they all just sit there. Nobody reacts, nobody runs for it, nobody says, "What is that?"
At first, I was thinking of the scene in Game of Thrones where they where the High Sparrow gets, pretty much blown up. But instead, it was just kind of like a, oh, there was no explosion there at all. I guess they're not going for the over-the-top action thing.
Shoots a green laser to the ceiling, a bunch of particles start falling, and they all disintegrate. The disintegration effect looked really good.
They pretty much turned to stone.
Oh yeah, I was trying to find the right way of putting it. I can't think of the word of the trees. Petrification,
Yeah. Oh,
kind
yeah,
of
that's
that,
a good
but
one.
they were really brittle when they fell to the floor. They smashed. But it looked good, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
What we didn't need was the fucking wedding scene. With Will Wheaton just sitting there very conspicuously, not saying a fucking word.
From what I understand, that scene was a lot longer with a lot more conversations, including Will Wheaton.
Maybe they should have left that in, because it's like, okay, last we saw Wesley, the traveler took him away.
Right.
Now he's suddenly showing up for the wedding with no explanation and no lines. It was just weird.
Yeah, so yeah, he had dialogue, but it got cut out.
They should have just cut to the reception, given him some interesting lines about the traveler, and then just gotten the fuck out of there quickly. Maybe
Why?
keep Worf's joke about Romulan now.
It was the and what was it, Irving Berlin too, like, oh, fuck this. It was Worf's best scene in the movie, sadly.
Yeah, and I gotta say, I did appreciate the trans acknowledgement in Data's intro to his song.
Yeah.
We didn't need, what, like three jokes about Betazoid weddings? Like, we didn't hear enough about that in the series.
Yeah. But the key problem to the movie is that Worf was criminally underused, and this wedding scene is really the only chance we had to, pretty much talk about where each cast member was going. But the director did not give a fuck about the cast, the characters of this, so it got cut.
I mean, and not that this is any different from the series, but Crusher was basically just there for exposition.
Well, yeah, she. I was trying to remember, like, what did she do in this? I think she had, like, two
She
lines.
had maybe five lines and they were all explaining things.
Yeah,
And
they.
one stupid line about how, Data's eyes look better than B4's, even though they were identical.
Right. They had this. I was trying to remember, I think in Insurrection, she had, like, a scene. It was just kind of like a what? I mean, so I think they also had this thing where that didn't make it in, where she was going to head the Starfleet medical. I don't know what Starfleet medical would do, but she was going to head it.
Should mention that the director, Stuart Baird, previously directed Executive Decision and U.S. Marshals and has not directed anything since this. He's an editor. He's done quite a bit as an editor, but.
The rumor had it is that he disliked Star Trek at
And it
most, at
shows.
best, and was, not going to watch any of the previous, material, and only watched like the last few movies before it just to have a little continuity, and it shows.
I mean, it could have been worse. She could have been Troi, who, Picard basically said, "If you're okay with getting psychically raped again, I could use some help."
I mean, I was just like a what?
Yeah.
The equivalent of walk it off or rub some dirt on it? I don't know.
Shinzon, the evil Picard clone, psychically rapes Troi almost literally. Like, you
Yeah.
know, I've referred to it as psychic rape in other cases. Star Trek, and I'm gonna blame Rick Berman. Rick Berman is really the source of all problematic shit in old Trek. He hasn't been involved in new Trek at all, which is one of the reasons it's a lot better. Yes, I said that. But he took over for Roddenberry. Roddenberry has his own issues with women.
Yeah.
But they've gone to that psychic rape well like 5 times already.
Oh yeah, it was I'm trying to remember which show it was where they really went into it. I think it was Enterprise.
And you know, she had just married Riker, they were in bed together, suddenly Riker turns into Shinzon.
It
So it
was
was very
also
much a rape analogy.
just the whole like the two of them getting it out of bed in the first place was kind of like, why are we doing this?
Star Trek does not need sex scenes, and I will say that categorically. This was, you know, certainly not the only offender, but yeah, it does not need sex scenes.
Although I do like that she used it as a two-way street
Yeah,
in
yeah. It was nice.
the end to get him back, I wish she had a bit more of the vengeance edge to it,
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
you know, now I see you,
Right.
asshole.
Rolling back a bit when they go to the planet and find the other data, the shuttle really reminded me of a DeLorean.
Oh, yeah, the way it was shaped and
Yeah,
everything.
it looked just like a DeLorean. And then they get the Argo, which looked a lot like the in Serenity. What was the offer the vehicle called? The
I
Jeep.
forget about that one.
Yeah, there was a Jeep sort of vehicle in
Yeah.
Serenity the year before that looked a lot like that. I have in my notes that that scene reminds me of John Woo. I like the Halo joke better. The robotic arm coming out of the ground that grabbed Worf was nicely Romero.
You're right. And why would it have done that? You know, who's
Yeah.
still active?
And finding the robot parts was nicely creepy, especially when the head's eyes opened. Then we
It
get a random
was
action scene.
kind of a waste. It was a time filler, you know? I mean, something else could have been done as a and just the whole like, oh, they're both twins kind of thing. It was such a ham-fisted
Especially when Picard makes a very self-aware joke about how Sung was not good at naming androids.
Yeah.
Data. I mean, love the character. Gotta admit, not a very clever name.
No.
And his brother, who we meet in this one, is B4, which is way worse. At least lore without an E was kind of interesting.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it was kind of, you know, a story. One's a story and one's, you know, a
But
series
it was
of,
slightly clever.
yeah.
In the past, I've complained about Star Trek movies being shot like TV shows because, you know, the people who make the series make the
Yeah.
movies. They got someone who has made movies, they just made shit movies. This is why I will say in another hot take on Star Trek, as movies, Kelvin versus better. Because they were made by people who know how to make movies.
I don't know. I mean, believe I've seen two of the three Kelvins, but I kind of feel the same way that I have about this one, where it was like, did I see it? I don't remember.
I mean, I won't say they're great movies, but they're a lot of
Yeah.
fun, and they look a lot better than any of the Trek movies, but we'll get to that next year. When the Riemann first showed up, I have to admit, I said, Riemann. Like Newman from Seinfeld.
Hello, Riemann.
And okay, they find this Data clone, or one of Data's brothers,
Yeah.
which they shouldn't have been shocked by because they've met others before this, but they find a suspicious extra data port in his neck.
Gee, I wonder what this is for.
Given their history, why didn't they just fucking space him?
Well, or at least
Or Geordi, take him apart.
give them time to look at them and study them
Right.
before just going straight to the, hey, Here's all of Data's memories.
Yeah. Right. One of my suggested titles was based on a Weird Al song, based on a song by Weird Al, because this movie just continually dares to be stupid.
I was thinking, I think I'm a clone now.
Yeah. My other one was Revenge of the Clone. I just wanted to mention that. Admiral Janeway was a nice touch.
Right. Was she really an admiral at this point, though?
I don't know. I think it had been some time. This was 2002. This was a while after the end of Voyager, I think.
Okay. I didn't think it, I thought of Voyager, like if it did the usual 7 years,
Maybe, maybe.
wouldn't it have been like still on even?
If it was still on, that's a big ups. But if it was even just a little after, she brought a ship home from the Delta Quadrant. Getting promoted to admiral kind of works. It kind of makes sense for me.
Like we know she does become admiral because I think isn't she like in the in the I think Voyager like ended around the same time. Or no, the year before
Okay, so
it
as long
ended
as it's a
in
year before, I have no problem with like the week after they got home, her getting promoted to admiral.
From what I understand, they also wanted to get 7 of 9 in this, or originally had wanted to get 7 of 9 into this, but she was like, well, why would I be at their wedding? I never met those
Right,
people.
right. Speaking of fan service, Janeway mentioning the previous movies was a little iffy. She said first Borg, then whatever the villain species was in Insurrection. I'm forgetting.
Did she mention those guys? I
Yes, she
forget.
did.
Oh well.
Because it rang a bell when she said it, but I'm forgetting it now.
The facelift guys.
Yeah, but yeah, she did call out the previous two movies, which I'm a little iffy on. Then we get a nice primer on the Reman. For anybody who skipped DS9. Because up until DS9, we didn't really know anything about them.
Were they like essential to the plot to Deep Space Nine, or they were
There was
just
a
in an
story arc.
episode or
I
two?
mean, they weren't like a major like season-long villain, but there was a
Yeah.
story arc that dealt with them and kind of explained a lot about it. The camera tricks where Spiner was playing both androids got old real fast. And this occurred to me just as a general comment. They should have included a line about how Data was designed to age. It would have saved them a lot of silly makeup.
That's true. And what happens, and of course Picard is just
That's just ridiculous. 60-something-year-old Brent Spiner trying to look like he's still in his 30s.
It's why he wanted to tap out after this one.
Yeah. Tom Hardy, nice choice for the clone. They actually do resemble each other quite a bit.
I think he did a brilliant job in
Oh,
this,
yeah.
actually.
I can't fault him at all in terms of performance. He looks smaller in this than pretty much anything else I've ever seen him in, because he's fucking huge. But he looks fairly small and thin in this.
I'm trying to think of where they based his look off of. Was it Total Matrix?
I was thinking big Cenobite energy, but
Was it Billy Corgan from the Adore
well, it was
video?
where Corgan got it from, the Cenobites from Hellraiser.
Oh,
That's at
okay.
least what I was thinking. Although how Worf could tell that he was human before the lights went up and not Romulan, obviously not Reman, but he could have been Romulan, the lights were down.
I don't know. I think Worf would just sense those things.
Maybe. I liked Picard's reaction when he first saw him.
But the one of the strange things, this is probably one of the best acted of the Star Trek
Oh yeah.
movies.
Once again, I'm going to say the same thing I said about Everything Everywhere. The problem was not with the cast. The cast did a great job with what they were given, pretty much across the board. The problem was with the writing and directing.
I'd say the writing more than anything else, honestly.
Yeah, more so the writing. That was the big offender. And at least they didn't waste time on the reveal that he's a clone. They got to that pretty quickly.
Yeah, I like how they were very casual with it. Like, we're just, the two of us coming to dinner, or should I just say the one of us?
Yeah. That was a nice line. And honestly, for the first half hour, I was kind of wondering why I hated this movie because I couldn't quite remember. And it was pretty good at that point. Like, it was in line with all the others, solid four from me.
It definitely has its
Oh,
moments.
yeah. Just the second half just gets stupid as fuck.
There is a lot of really dumb things. I mean, there's some cool action in this, but there's also some really the dumbest thing has to be after they kidnap Picard, they get him off the he gets off the ship. It's decloaked. What do they do? Do they fire on the ship? It's decloaked. It's not shielded. No, they try to run. I mean, that had to have been some of the dumbest plot armor I've ever seen, and it was pointless because they could have just began the space battle there.
They really the subtitle instead of Nemesis should have just been Because Plot.
Right.
But going back to their first meeting, the dinner, there was a nice kind of nature versus nurture debate between the
Oh,
two,
yeah.
and that kind of goes throughout the movie. I enjoyed that as a former psych major.
They had a theme that they were really trying to hit us over the head with, but it was probably done best there. We didn't need the data clone
No.
stuff.
And that was in a segue because the whole B4 thing felt almost like an extra plot thread until, oh, wait, he's an obvious spot.
Yeah. And it was kind of sad because it was like, what are they saying? You should never, help. You should never trust. It's always going to come back to bite you on the ass. Because how many times could they have done that in Star Trek?
Also, Crusher remembered Picard when he was like 20 something.
Yeah.
She always struck me as quite a bit younger than him. I mean, I haven't looked
Oh.
up their ages, but I think I'm pretty sure Gates McFadden is like 10 years younger, 10 or 10 to 15 years younger than Stewart.
I don't know. They always had that, and that was running through the show, definitely.
Well, I mean, they all but said that Picard is Wesley's father, but
Yeah, that.
that doesn't mean that they knew each other, when they were at the academy.
That was always the big fan theory that they've always been like, no, he definitely isn't. But I mean, come on.
You think that us protest too much to reference
Yeah.
Shakespeare because, TNG cast loves their Shakespeare. And just to bring up the exact quote, if you can endure more of these assaults, I need you at my side.
That's really what he said.
That's the exact quote. I mean, old Trek never really knew how to deal with women, but that's just excessive.
Was 2002. If it was done in like the 60s or
Well, that's
70s,
different, yes.
but I mean, 2002.
Enterprise was the last one to do the psychic rape thing in like a few years after this.
That's true. But they weren't as cavalier about it as
Oh,
that,
no. It wasn't, if you can handle getting raped again, I could use your help. Archer never said that,
just think back to like Norm Macdonald.
Yeah, exactly.
And that was wrong.
Also, Shinzon's reason for wanting to kill Picard made no sense.
No, none of it made any sense. The rape didn't make any sense
No, why would he?
especially what they were plotting,
I mean, he has a little eye contact with Troy, like, kind of just being creepy Lear guy.
Yeah.
But they don't really establish any kind of infatuation there.
Right. So it was kind of a surprise of like, wait, he's plotting to like do all this stuff, but his thing is to slip into her DMs.
When he captures Picard, he just kind of says, like, as long as you exist, I'm not really a person or some bullshit.
Right.
And Data impersonating B4 to spring Picard was really obvious. Like, we could tell that wasn't B4, so Shinzon should have been able to tell. Or
And
no, it
look
wasn't
at.
Shinzon, it was evil Jar Jar.
Well, evil Jar Jar can't read an android's mind, so.
But presumably he knows B4. They've programmed him. He knows B4 has a very distinct way of acting. he kind of felt like a parody of developmental disabilities a little bit,
Yeah.
which is another problem. But the Raymond should have been able to recognize that that's not B4 because he's clearly way smarter.
For other problematic things, this is 2002. It is a year after 9/11, and it was a baller move, but flying your ship into something probably not the best time.
I mean, was it? I forget if it which one of the last two it was that did the Moby Dick thing. Was it First Contact? No, it was Insurrection that did the whole Moby Dick riff, right?
Was Insurrection the one with the Borg?
No, it was it the Borg? Yes, you're right. It was the Borg. It was First Contact with
Yeah.
Alfre Woerner who did the whole Moby Dick riff. That
Yeah.
was beautifully done. We didn't need him suddenly turning into Ahab and ramming the ship. Because that was a pure Ahab move.
True. But they couldn't do the carbonite, they couldn't self-destruct.
Right.
Which that's why they should have attacked as soon as they decloaked that
Right.
first time, because they knew they had this weapon and they needed to stop him at all costs. So just flying away and hoping to outrun him to get to the Federation fleet really made zero sense whatsoever. But ramming him was, the thing to do. But
After Data springs him, they're trying to get off the ship. They find the shuttles, but they can't get the blast doors open with the force field.
it was also such a Halo scene, too,
They
flying through the
fly
ship.
the shuttle through the ship.
That's a Halo
Is
thing,
it?
too.
Okay. I never got to
Yes.
that mission. And when Shinzon started getting sicker, we have veins on his face or on his head that
Right.
just looked drawn on.
And why was Picard having so much trouble fighting Boo Radley there? I mean, he's sick and dying. He shouldn't have had full strength. And how did he plan on flying that ship to Earth? Because he was still very much under the impression that he was going to complete the mission, even though like a good portion of the ship was gone.
He was just evil guy being evil, 'cause zealot.
And you want to talk about dumb plans? Picard's the only thing that could sustain his life. So let's beam over to his ship. Okay.
And this wasn't necessarily a stupid plot thing, but just so ridiculous. When Troi is, getting her revenge, there's like a rectangular eyelid on her. That is so strong. When she's guiding, Worf to the ship.
I wish that had sealed the deal, honestly. I think that would have brought this at least half a brain if that was kind of like the thing that was the Achilles heel that just destroyed the ship.
And she played it more revengeful, like you said.
Yes.
And it was a cool idea, but she had this like very clear rectangular eyelid that was just silly.
Instead it just damaged him some and they were kind of stuck staring at each other.
It's just so stupid. And okay, you can call TNG a lot of things, but it was never stupid. It was the
Right.
opposite. Admittedly, TNG got a bit too intellectual a lot. But to end the TNG movies with something this stupid. I mean, Data leaps from one ship to another.
I like that. I like the just fucking run. Any zero grav scene in the movies have been good, I think. I'm a fan of.
I think I was just so sick of the stupidity at that point. Like, if that was the only kind of ridiculous thing in the movie, okay, I'd accept it because, rule of cool, but not in this one. And okay, logically, wouldn't Data's life be worth more than Picard's? Data's an android. Data is, vastly smarter and faster and stronger than any human. Picard, brilliant captain, but he's getting up there.
Well, And spoiler alert, guys. but count us if it has been spoiled, we saved you a few
20 fucking
hours.
years. If you don't know the plot, you clearly aren't interested.
I totally forgot that Data died in this movie.
Oh no, I very much remembered because this was the last TNG movie and he was dead at the beginning of Picard. It was the last chance they had to kill him.
Yeah, I don't. How is he in Picard exactly?
Picard's memory. Or his positronic matrix was preserved somehow from a ship that went boom.
But his body, they had his body.
No, that was all in Picard's memory.
Oh, that was just in Picard's memory.
The two times we saw Brent Spiner in the ridiculous makeup were at the beginning of the first season, in both in the first season, but one in the first episode at the beginning, which was just a dream Picard was having, and then they officially said goodbye at the end after Picard is turned into an android himself.
All
Spoilers.
right. Yeah.
But honestly, don't bother with Picard. And that's in Picard's head. So we never actually see a physical Data.
So his death is just so underwhelmingly done, you know? It's kind of shocking. It's just there's just a little kind of like a toast to him kind of at the end.
To absent friends always reminds me of Rocky Horror.
And from what I understand, there was a bit more that got edited out, like Geordi and Worf clearing out his room, and like Spot the cat like takes a liking to Worf.
That would have been nice. But killing one of the greatest characters in Trek is such a fucking stupid movie.
Yeah, well, I mean, it could have been a really cool ending. Like he. The whole point about, of course, his life being worth more than Picard's, Data chose
Yeah, Data
to
chose to
save,
sacrifice himself.
to sacrifice himself for, in favor of Picard.
But he's an android. He's very. I mean, you could argue it's an emotional choice, and it's,
Yeah.
I think he had the emotion chip at this point.
Which they don't even mention.
No.
They
So
make no reference to.
if it was the emotional choice, then okay, that makes sense. I'm just finding other things to nitpick. I really have to revisit TMP to see which one is worse.
We don't need to do sequels and
Oh
remakes,
no,
right?
I'm not
Because
saying on the show. I'm saying in, off air, I need to revisit TMP to decide which one is worse. Also, when Picard and Riker were saying goodbye, there was a real vibe like they were about to kiss. Now, Nemesis was the least successful of the franchise, a box office failure that earned $67 million against a worldwide 67 worldwide against a budget of $60 million. Plans for a final film featuring the next gen cast were then scrapped.
And from what I understand, they were talking about doing like an Avengers style, like it was I think it was going to be like a Q thing, and I think they were going to get everybody, like all the series people, whoever was available, whoever they
And
could
still
talk into
around.
doing it.
Well, I think
Yeah,
they were all still around at that point.
a lot of them were still
Yeah.
by then. Yeah.
And it would have been nice to see Q in a movie.
Yeah. Which is kind of, you know,
That's the big, that's the worst part here is we didn't get to see Q in a movie
it's
because.
weird that they didn't just do that, you know. But that would have required like a director and a writer that knew the series better.
And for this to have actually made a profit.
But this bombed strictly because of Paramount. Like Paramount insisted on this director who, I mean, it's just kind of there, you know? And they also insisted on it getting released around the same t exact time as the second Lord of the Rings and the second Harry Potter movie.
Oh wow. And the same year as the second of the prequels.
Well, right, but that was like a good 6 months, 7 months later.
Oh, you
Like
mean time in the year? Okay.
that was like in the summer.
All right.
This is December of
Oh,
02,
okay.
so they had both of those movies out around the same time, and they wanted to shorten the movie more so it could play on more screens, So people that couldn't get into one of those other two good movies would go and say, "Oh, we'll see Star Trek instead."
And I mean, okay, with Potter, you could argue, particularly at that time, different demographic. That was still at that point seen as very much a kid's thing. They're not interested in Trek. But Lord of the Rings, completely the same demo.
Right. This is one of the highest selling DVDs of the series, actually, because no one
Is
saw it in the theater.
it? And I'm sure they all regretted it. Do we
Yes.
need to do sequels and remakes?
That's what I was going to say. We really don't, because we're reviewing all of them.
Yeah. 10th Star Trek movie overall, third to feature the TNG cast, followed by the Kelvin verse in 2009, on to Brains.
On to Brains.
I'm gonna go a brain lower than TMP. I mean, it's been a while since I've seen TMP, and it's not good, but I still think this is probably worse.
I'm going half a brain over TNP, 2.5, because it didn't take an hour to get onto the ship.
Yeah.
TNP is just painful to watch.
Slow, but it was 1980.
I mean, this was a dumb action movie, and if I didn't know Star Trek, I would probably say it was a halfway decent action movie, and it was somewhere over the 3 mark. But as a Star Trek fan, what they did was just a travesty. It just wasn't as painful as TMP, so 2.5 for me.
Funny, we both landed at 2.5, going opposite ways from TMP. The sin of TMP, or well, not of the sins of TMP, can be put down to its time. It was very much a product of 1980 science fiction.
Well, it's there's a few things wrong with TMP. It's, the exact opposite of this movie. They didn't know when to edit in TMP. And then there's the whole plot, which is just
I didn't mind the whole
obnoxious.
V'ger thing.
Oh my God, that was so
But yeah, it is very much the opposite of this. And like I said last time, they overcorrected from Insurrection.
Yeah.
Vastly overcorrected. So what have we learned?
We learned that if you brace your desk, you could actually survive a starship crash.
And I learned that Data's siblings can't be trusted. Well, no, we learned that like 20 years earlier. No, well, no, about 15 years earlier, but.
Gurney Halleck got to eat.
Yeah, that was a good title, I gotta admit.
Stewart made more than in this movie than he did for the whole run.
Gurney
Because
Halleck
they
gotta
were,
eat.
they had all their contracts were done after Insurrection, so to bring them all back cost a lot of money in itself.
Wow. They could have easily all just walked away at that point, and we
Yeah.
had a fairly decent ending TNG movie. Actually, a very appropriate ending TNG movie because it was just an extended episode.
Yeah.
But they had to come back for this shit. Anyway, that's it for Star Trek Nemesis. Until next time, when we'll be reviewing Cockneys versus Zombies, very much in our lane, classic, not classic, but a good old-fashioned B zombie movie, very much in the vein of Shaun of the Dead. Very much a rip-off of Shaun of the Dead, let's be honest. But it looks like a lot of fun. Until then, of course, always remember and never forget, wherever you go in life, there you
There
are.
you are.